Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time for our weekly NFL draft news and notes. I cannot believe we are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft kicking off. And of course, to talk about the latest news and notes as we get ready for the momentous occasion, my good buddy, Walter Cherepinski, owner and founder, WalterFootball.com. Walt, what's up, brother? How pumped are you? Scale of 1 to 10.
-5, because I always feel like I'm way behind. I wish I had more time, you know. But that's always the case. In fact, before I was getting married back in 2018, I saw my aunt. And this is like a couple weeks before the draft. And she said, "Oh, are you ready for the big day?" I'm like, no, I have a lot of prep to do for the draft. And so she's like, "Well, I'm talking about your wedding." And so, yeah, I'm always behind, but you know, it always works out somehow, some way. So, looking forward to it. I am looking forward to the draft, but for the work part of it, there's a lot of work to do, and it's a matter of having the time to do it. And with two kids, it's going to be a challenge, but we're going to get it done. So, Scott, thanks for having me on again.
Walt, you have two marriages going on: one to your actual wife, and one to WalterFootball.com. I love the dedication, and that's why it's so much fun to talk about the draft news and notes with you every week. Let's start with the update going on involving the Patriots situation. We talked a little bit about it last week, but there's been a development. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so Charlie Campbell posted an update in the hot press section of the website, where he actually had an article about this. Like you said, we talked about this last week, but that was from around the combine or slightly after. And Charlie gave an update on the Patriots situation about their preference of quarterback at number 3. And Jaden Daniels is the quarterback the Patriots want the most. Now, Jaden Daniels is favored to go number 2 to Washington. Sounds like Washington likes Daniels more than the other guys, but the owner might think differently, and the owner may have the final say, like we saw in Carolina. So if Daniels falls to 3, it sounds like he's going to be off the board to New England. However, if Daniels is off the board, the Patriots are obviously looking at McCarthy and May. Right now, it's looking like May has a slight lead over McCarthy, but it's very close. And sure, there's a lot of debating going on within the Patriots organization as you're listening to this. So they could always flip-flop, change their mind. But right now, their preference at quarterback is Daniels, then May, and then McCarthy.
Walt, let's talk about the weekly stock-up, stock-down report. Two wide receivers that I really like are in the stock-up column this week. One of them, a very prominent wide receiver who went to a Power 5 school. The other, somebody who's gaining traction and didn't go to a Power 5 school, but one of my favorite players in the draft. Talk to me about Malik Nabers and Malachi Corley.
Yeah, Malik Nabers is gaining traction to be the number one receiver off the board and the first non-quarterback off the board. Arizona at number four is likely to trade down, but if they don't, it sounds like they like Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr., which is kind of wild because they've been linked to Harrison Jr. even before the 2023 NFL draft. But yeah, it sounds like they flipped to Nabers, and a lot of teams have Nabers going ahead of Harrison. I wonder if this is because Harrison hasn't worked out, but it does have something to do with Nabers' elite speed and playmaking ability. And yeah, I think at this point, as Charlie wrote, he's a lot to go in the top six, and I would agree with that. As far as Malachi Corley's concerned, he's being viewed pretty favorably. He's rising up draft boards. He's taking a ton of visits, and teams are kind of comparing him to Deebo Samuel, like kind of a receiver who is he's great after the catch, and he's a tough receiver. He's got like a running back build, which is pretty much what Deebo is. So yeah, teams are starting to look at him as a second day possibility. I have him going in the second round now in mock draft, so he's definitely someone on the rise.
Breaks my heart because I was kind of hoping that he might be there for the Jets in the third round, but it's looking less and less likely. Reminds me a lot of Brandon Ayuk when Brandon Ayuk was at Arizona State. I'm not saying he's necessarily going to be as good as Brandon Ayuk has become, but I think there's a lot of upside there for Malachi Corley. So you could see why so many of these teams really like him, and he's taking so many top 30 visits. A lot of cornerbacks on the list this week in the stock up, stock down report. Three of them stock up, one of them stock down. Funny enough, the stock down corner is my favorite cornerback in this draft. So let's go through this. Ennis Rakestraw, the cornerback from Missouri. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., the cornerback from Louisville, who turned some heads at the Senior Bowl. And the guy with the best name in the entire draft, Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama. They're on the rise. And apparently Quinion Mitchell, who, like I said, is my favorite cornerback in this draft out of Toledo, he might be slipping a little bit.
Ennis Rakestraw had a pretty impressive workout. And he was coming off hernia surgery. So teams kind of factored that in. They think that he is someone who could potentially make it into the first round. I think he's more likely to go second round, but teams are starting to think they're like, hey, if all the top cornerbacks are gone and a team needs a cornerback at the end of the first round, like who could go there? It could be Rakestraw. So, yeah, pretty impressive workout considering the hernia surgery. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. is also on the rise. So teams are kind of warming up to him. It sounds like they think that he can go in the third round. And if he makes it into day three, he's not going to last very long. So he's on the rise. Kool-Aid McKinstry, there was some concern that he would have some potential makeup concerns, like character concerns. But he actually did really well in the interviews, considering the expectations. So I think it sounds like teams are okay with him being a first-round pick. Like, you know, whereas otherwise, if he didn't do as well in the interviews as they thought, that he would slip to the second round, as you see sometimes with character guys. But yeah, McKinstry at this point, I think, is pretty pretty set in the first round. Not a complete lock, but I think he's if I were to bet, I'd say he's going to go in the first round, late first round, still first round. And then Quinion Mitchell, who is considered to be maybe the favorite to be the first cornerback off the board. Some sources told Charlie that they were not impressed with his college tape, and considering that he played in the MAC, that is a problem. Some sources say that, you know, there are raw elements to his game, and he's going to need some development to go up against pro receivers. So that's something that you don't want to hear out of your first round cornerback, especially the top cornerback in the class, according to some. So I dropped Quinion Mitchell in my mock. I still have him going in the first round, but considerably lower than I had before.
One last prospect to talk about here. This is a draft that is heavy on offense and a little light on defense at the top, but there's a fast riser coming out of Penn State. We've already heard quite a bit about Olu Fashanu, the offensive tackle from Penn State, being a top 20 pick. Could he be joined by another player from Penn State on the defensive side of the ball? Chop Robinson, the edge rusher, rising up draft boards rapidly.
Yeah, so you know, Dallas Turner's pretty much locked in to be the number one defense player off the board, the number one edge rusher, obviously. So the question is, who's going to be next? And Laiatu Latu was the favorite to be the number two edge rusher for a while. But there are medical concerns with Latu, so he's been falling a bit, and Chop Robinson has been on the rise. He interviewed really well in pre-draft meetings with teams, and he's worked out really well, which is not a surprise considering that he's from Penn State and all those guys tend to be workout warriors. So Chop Robinson is someone I've had in the second round of my mock drafts, but it's sounding like he's trending to be a late first round pick.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Walt, you guys have scouting reports up at WalterFootball.com, and you do this year-round. You update them as the draft gets closer. Quite a few updates in the last couple of days. Take us through some of them.
There are a lot of updates. Well, first of all, we had a bunch of quarterbacks. No one knew, but we have 9 quarterbacks, scouting reports that you can see. But as far as some new scouting reports that are available on the site, you mentioned that you like Malachi Corley. We have him as a new scouting report. We have a comparison to Earl Bennett, actually, as Charlie posted. But, you know, we talked about how you think he compares favorably to Brandon Ayuk, and I said Deebo Samuel. So there are a bunch of guys there, so you can read his scouting report. There is one on Brendan Rice and Tez Walker. Those are some new receivers that we have. We added some tight ends, Jaheim Bell from Florida State and Theo Johnson from Penn State. So another Penn Stater there if you're interested in looking at that. A new tackle report in Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. Then after that, we go to the defensive side of the ball. We have Adisa Isaac, another Penn State product. We have a report on him as an edge rusher. And then Rook Orororo, always love that name. But, yeah, defensive tackle, he's a new scouting report. We have some new defensive backs as well. Cole Bishop and Cameron Kitchens. Those are new scouting reports at safety. And Kalane Carson from Wake Forest and Johnny Dixon from Penn State and also TJ Tampa from Iowa State and Enos Regestraw as well from Missouri. So a bunch of new scouting reports added to defensive backs. So we have, I don't know, I didn't count them all, but it looks like we have at least 80 or 90 right now. The goal is to have all the major quarterbacks and every single player we think is going to go in the first 3 rounds. And obviously some day 3 prospects as well. So, you can get all the scouting reports there at WalterFootball.com, and all of them have an NFL player comparison.
The mock drafts up at WalterFootball.com remain unchanged in terms of the Jets. Charlie Campbell has the Jets taking Brock Bowers at number 10. You have the Jets taking Roma Dunze at number 10. Brock Bowers, of course, the tight end from the University of Georgia. Roma Dunze, the wide receiver from the University of Washington. You also have the Jets taking Patrick Paul, the offensive tackle from Houston, at number 72. That remains unchanged. But I wanted you to talk a little bit more about the other picks that you have the Jets taking beyond that, because you do have a 5-round mock draft up at WalterFootball.com. Tell me a little bit about the other picks you have the Jets making.
So, okay, I have 3 other picks. At 111, I have the Jets drafting Xavier Weaver from Colorado, who's a really reliable weapon for Shedeur Sanders this past season. And, you know, even though I had the Jets drafting Roma Dunze at number 10, which I'm kind of almost flip flopping to, I think it's going to be Brock Bowers at 10. Right now I have Brock Bowers at 9 to the Bears, but like, I don't know. I think the Bears could go with the Dunze. I'm like 50-50 on it right now. But anyway, I think the Jets could come away with 2 receivers. You know, Mike Williams signed on a short deal, and he's coming off a torn ACL. So, I don't think it'd shock anyone if the Jets double dipped at receiver early on. The at 113, I have the Jets going Michael Pratt, the quarterback from Tulane. And I did this before they took a visit with Pratt. Pratt came in for a top 30 visit. He was pretty consistent at Tulane. He didn't stand out at Senior Bowl or anything like that. But I thought that, you know, he's – of all the mid-round quarterbacks, I think I would take a shot on him over anyone else. It's not – that's not like a huge compliment to Pratt. It's more of a disdain for the other prospects. But I think that the Jets are – likely to go quarterback in the mid rounds because they really don't have a long-term solution after Aaron Rodgers, and they definitely need one. I guess Zach Wilson's still there, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be there for much longer. But yeah, the Jets need someone to groom behind Rodgers, and taking a young quarterback is a pretty logical decision, I think. And the fact that they hosted Pratt for a top 30 visit made a lot of sense to me. So that, like I said, I had him there before the top 30 visit news, but and after seeing that, I think Pratt's going to be pretty locked in as a pick to the Jets. So I think that he is a good pick there in the fourth round. And then at 134, I have the Jets taking Fabian Lovett, the nose tackle from Florida State. He's a player I think that would go earlier if he hadn't dealt with injuries. He had injuries in his final season. He's had weight problems in the past, but he's a big time run stuffer. And if you recall with the Jets last year, obviously everyone listening to this would know, the Jets pass defense was elite last year, but the run defense was leaky at times. And, they signed a nose tackle, this off season, which will definitely help, when they brought in, Leki Fotu from Arizona. But I think that going for a longer term solution at nose tackle makes a lot of sense. And so someone like Lovett in the fifth round, the fourth, fifth round range, I think would be a solid move for the Jets.
The top 10 in this draft, obviously of great interest to Jets fans, because however it shakes out will determine who's on the board for the Jets at 10, which would then determine who they either pick at 10 or what they're able to get to move down from number 10. So talk to me a little bit about how you have the top 9 picks ahead of the Jets going here. I know you've got a bit of a curveball, as you said, at number 9, and even a trade. And you don't normally project trades, but you did in this mock draft. Take us through it.
Yes, I mean, quarterbacks are locked in 1, 2, 3. It just depends on which ones. Right now, I think it's going to be Caleb Williams is a lock at number one, unless he falls down the stairs or is abducted by aliens. Like, he's going to be the top pick. And Jaden Daniels, I think it's going to be number two to Washington. And three, I think Drake May, but it could be J.J. McCarthy. And so whichever of those quarterbacks doesn't go in the top three, I think we'll go 4, 5, or 6. I believe that Minnesota is going to trade up. And like you said, I normally don't like to project trades in mock drafts because it's difficult enough to predict the picks to begin with. And now you're predicting trades, like, seems silly, but we know the Vikings are going to trade up because they acquired Houston's pick. This is part of their plan to move up. They have no quarterback unless you want to count Sam Darnold, which I imagine no one listening to the show would. So the Vikings are going to try to move up for whichever quarterback falls out of the top three. And so I imagine that they're going to go to 4, 5, or 6. Right now I have them going to 6, but the more I think about it, the more I think it's likely that they're going to go to 4, because if they go to 6, they take the risk of some team moving ahead of them, first of all. And second, Arizona really wants to move down. The Cardinals want to acquire more picks. And so, yeah, team moving, wanting to move up, the team wanting to move down, it's like a perfect situation. And I think that Arizona, if they move from 4 to 11, which is the Vikings pick right now, I think they could go up again. This is what they did last year. They went from 3 to 12, and then they went from 12 to 6. So if they move down from 4 to 11, I think it's likely that they move from 11 to 6 or 7, something like that, and get the receiver that they could have drafted at 4. And it would be a great move for them, because right now at 4, if they stay put, I think they're taking Malik Nabers. But if they move from 4 to 11 to 6, they could still end up with Nabers, and they'll end up with a future first-round pick. And so I think it would be just fantastic maneuvering for them. So right now, I think Arizona ends up with a receiver, whether it's a 4 or 6. We'll see. I think the Chargers end up with the other top receiver at five. And then, like I said, Minnesota, I think will move to four, but it could be five or six. At seven, I think the Titans are, I don't want to say locked in because they could trade or whatever, but if they stay put at seven, I think it's very difficult to see them passing on Joe Alt, the top tackle in this draft. They have no left tackle. They need to replace Taylor Lewan from a couple of years ago. And so this is a perfect opportunity for them to do so. At eight, I think Atlanta is live to take the first defensive player off the board. That would be Dallas Turner. However, I think Atlanta is definitely a candidate to trade down. Because the Bears could take Dallas Turner at nine, but I just don't see teams at 10 or 11 or 12 taking him, even 13, because the Raiders took an edge rusher last year. So the first team to take Dallas Turner otherwise could be the Saints at 14. So I could see Atlanta moving down from 8 to 12 or something like that, and still getting Dallas Turner in that spot. So if Denver wanted to move up for Michael Penix, for example, they could do that. So I think that's a scenario that the Jets would love, by the way, because the more quarterbacks that go in the top 10, the better, because they're bound to get a better prospect. At nine, I think the Bears go with one of Dallas Turner. If he makes best Atlanta, I think he's one of the favorites to go nine. If he's gone, I think it's going to come down to Roma Dunze or Brock Bowers. And like I said before, I'm 50-50 on that. I have no idea what they're going to do at the moment. I think Charlie might get us some information on that later. But at this moment, I currently have Bowers to them. I know they have Cole Kmet, but they could play two tight end formations, kind of like the Patriots did with Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez a long time ago. And also like the Bills, they drafted Dalton Kincaid after paying Dawson Knox a lot of money. Teams do this all the time. But they could use another receiver too, because Keenan Allen is pretty old. Dunze makes a lot of sense as well. So I think the Jets end up with whoever the Bears don't take. If the Bears take a Dunze, then they take Bowers. If the Bears take Bowers, then they take a Dunze. So I think that's how it's going to pan out.
Walter Cherepinski, owner and founder of walterfootball.com. Thanks so much for coming on and talking about all the latest news and notes surrounding the NFL draft with me. Really appreciate it. Talk a little bit about what you've got up there right now. I talked about a lot of it, but there's so much more that I didn't even get into, because your site is just a cornucopia of sports information, especially NFL draft information this time of year.
Yeah, you said I'm married to my wife and the site. My wife would disagree at this time of year. We have a ton of content at walterfootball.com. Tons of draft content, mock drafts, and both me and Charlie update it every week. And now that we're closing in on the draft, they're going to be updated daily the week of the draft. So a lot's going to change from day to day during the week as we get more information from Charlie. And Charlie's going to provide us some great info on draft props as well. We hit every single draft prop last year except for one. So I'm looking forward to that as well. It's such a great money-making opportunity. I know someone who made $31,000 on one sportsbook and they refused to pay him out. They called him a gambling syndicate just based on the information that we had. I wish I won that amount of money, but I know that someone did, and I think there's going to be a lawsuit. But so we're going to have draft props as well, as you said. Lots of other betting stuff too. We're up about 34 units in the NBA, and in golf, we hit Akshay Bhatia at 68-1 last week. So that was a great win for us. We had a bunch of wins last year of that caliber as well. So we have betting for almost every sport on the site. Tons of draft content, scouting reports, stock reports, big board, prospect rankings. Come May, we're going to have fantasy football updates, season previews, power ranking updates, stuff like that. And during the season, NFL picks against the spread. So you can find that at walterfootball.com. All the content is free. And that is my soul marriage at the moment. So come check us out. And thanks for having us on, Scott.
Walt, I remember which one didn't come through last year. It was that Jalen Carter were going the top five, I believe, and Devin Witherspoon went there instead. But you and Charlie hit on so many of those props. And I still remember you guys telling me that the Jets were going to take Sauce Gardner at four, Garrett Wilson at 10, and that they were looking to make a move up to get Breece Hall. The one move people didn't anticipate was the trade up for Jermaine Johnson, but I think that's because people expected him to go higher than he ultimately went. But that just shows you the veracity and the accuracy of the information that Walt and Charlie have at walterfootball.com. So as Walt said, if you want to make yourself some money, check out what they've got at walterfootball.com, and then make sure that you look at the prop bets, which should come out just before the draft, and go put some money on them. You'll definitely thank Walt and Charlie for it, as many have. Check out everything, though, right now at walterfootball.com. Check out what we've got at playlikeajet.com, and be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.